Hello, I'm Rick Malloy. Today I want to walk through a demo app with you that demonstrates control flow-based programming in the agents library versus data flow-based programming in the agents library. This is a C++ demo. It's based on Visual Studio 2010. The concepts, I think, will translate naturally, not just to Visual Studio 2010, but also to the data flow CTP in .NET and the async CTP. And traditional threaded programming, if you look for it. So first, what do I mean when I say control flow programming? Well, quite simply, just, control flow, taking loops and control statements and converting them from, this traditional branchy sort of control flow into data flow, where you're actually saying, here's some work, here's what happens before it, here's what happens at the end of it, and here's how I connect them together, so it looks a little bit more like, you think about it when you flowchart it. So here's the sample app. It's very small, but hopefully it's familiar. So we're going to deconstruct this serial applet, which basically checks for input for a long time, then it updates some app state, and it renders some app state. It's very simple. And if you go look at this code, there's really not much here. I mean, we're just gonna wait until our frame count is less than 250. We're gonna update it every time we call render and put some stuff on the screen, and we're going to put something else on the screen when we update it. It's very simple. The point here is deconstructing this. So how do I deconstruct it? What I actually want to do is flowchart this. So there's really three pieces here. There's the thing that checks for the input. The thing that updates the app state here, and the thing that renders it. When I look at this in a flowchart, it will look a little bit more like this. First, this thing that checks for input, it's got one input coming into it, and it's got two inputs going out of it. The blue ones here are sort of messages, and I've just put purple to sort of signify we're going to shut down. So the input goes to the update. The update goes to the render, and the render goes back to the input, and then something in the input eventually decides that it's time to stop. And that matches exactly this. Check for the input, then update ourselves, then render our app. So the first deconstruction here is about control flow. And I'm going to split things up into agents. An agent is something where we take and we're going to expose input ports and output ports, and you're not going to see anything else about the implementation, just that there's an input and there's an output and what type it is. So here's my input agent. I've got an input agent. When I construct it, I'm not going to do anything. And then I'm going to expose a target, and in the agents library, a target is something that you can send a message to. And I'm going to expose two sources, an output buffer, which is just the output, and a shutdown buffer. This matches exactly, what I saw. Up here in the public interface, all we know is that they're targets and sources of signals. But down here in the implementation, what we actually see is that we're going to have an unbounded buffer of signals for the input, an unbounded buffer of signals for the output, and a single assignment for the shutdown. So the unbounded buffer has let us sort of queue up messages really forever until you run out of memory. And the single assignment lets you take a message, write to it once, and then it's done. And that will signify the shutdown. And we have this run method. So what is the run method in the input agent? Well, and now it is exactly that portion of the code where we check for input and then produce an output. So while we check for input, this matches directly to this while checking for input. But instead of calling update, what we're going to do is we're going to wait for our last input message to tell us it's time to continue, and then we're just going to send to the output the signal. We do this until the input is over. And then when the input is done, then we're going to send to our shutdown buffer, in fact, that it's time to signal, and we're going to tell ourselves that we're done. Very simple. The render agent is also pretty straightforward. We have an input buffer, an output buffer, and we take a shutdown buffer to take the message in. And here, the code is a little bit different. So we're going to, again, spin in a loop. But what we're going to do here is we're going to check to see if we're getting a shutdown message. And if we're not getting a shutdown message, then we're going to wait for an input signal. And we'll call our work function, this render app, right? This is the core piece of functionality, which is true to this second agent, this rendering agent. And then after we call this, we're going to notify the next guy down the line through our output buffer that it's time to output. When we do get a shutdown message through our input buffer, then we're going to signal our shutdown. And the third agent here is our update agent. Again, it's very similar, an input, an output, an input that takes the shutdown message. But in here, what we need to do is we need to call, you know, the update function. And this looks a lot like the render agent because structurally it's very similar. It's, you know, I'm going to take an input, I'm going to do some work. When I'm done with my work, I'm going to notify someone that I'm done. And if I get an output, you know, a shutdown message, I'm going to switch to shutdown. So it really is the same code. Check to see if we have a shutdown message, wait for a signal to input, and then call update. Notify the next guy in line, and set our status to done. Those are the three building blocks of this simple loop in the control flow style. I've really taken just this logic and deconstructed it a little bit into three separate agents, which will be run as three separate threads when I start them, and we can actually get this functionality. So I've implemented this together in a control flow network, and this is what the code looks like. I declare an instance of each one of them, the renderer, the update agent, and the input agent. I'm calling the input agent a controller because he's the one that will actually signal it's time to shut down. And then I'm going to start the renderer, I'm going to start the updater, and I'm going to start the controller. But what I actually need to do to make these guys work is I need to connect them all together. So I want to connect the controller to the updater, I want to connect the updater to the renderer, and I want to connect the renderer back to the controller. So in the agents library, to connect a source to a target, we use this method called link target. So controller dot output buffer. Right, so get the output buffer. Because the output buffer is a message source, now we can call link target. The target we're going to link it to is the updater. So we're going to say updater dot input buffer. Right, so this will in fact link them together. But there's a little bit of a helper here, and this is something that's in the concurrency sample pack. You see my comment up here that says connect the controller to the updater? There's a better way to do this. So you can just say connect controller updater, like that. And that's a helper function. The implementation of this helper function is a little bit interesting because what it will do is, in fact, is it will normalize pointers and references. And even more interesting, if I go to the definition here, right? So I treat my source as a reference, regardless of whether it's a pointer. What I'll actually do is I'll use this helper function. And I know folks have been saying, hey, we need to see some more C++ 11 stuff here. So here's this little bit of C++ 11 stuff. I can use type traits and the technique called substitution failure is not an error. And what I can actually do is I can make a macro that says, hey, tell me if this thing has a member name. So I make a macro, define has member input buffer, define has member output buffer. And this will actually at compile time go through and tell me if I have an input buffer method or variable on the class. And it'll do that through here. So I go through and I say, hey, I'm going to make a helper, right? And it's going to, in fact, look to see if it has this T, right? And the T is, you know, pretty much anything. But because I have decal type, this becomes very, very efficient to write. So does it, in fact, have an input buffer or an output buffer right here with this address of you, you know, colon, colon, name. Because if it doesn't, then we're going to get this defined to false. But if it does, it's going to get defined to true. And that's what lets me up here in main say, hey, just connect the controller to the updater. Because the controller has an input buffer, we can at compile time detect that. And rather than use, you know, the controller, we'll forward that up to the actual input buffer method and the value of it. And we can connect to that. The neat thing about it is it sort of works recursively, right? So if you have a class that exposes something called the input buffer, even if that class itself is an agent, the input buffer, if that input buffer is an agent and it has a member that's an input buffer, it will connect to that. It's really a slick little piece of code. Right, so we connect the controller to the updater, connect to the controller's shutdown output buffer to the shutdown input buffer, and the controller's shutdown buffer to the updater shutdown input buffer. Oh, and I forgot to connect these two. So connect the updater to the renderer and connect the renderer back to the controller. With any luck, this thing will compile. Great. And this will run. So, because we went on a bit of a detour, declare the three agents, start them. What starting them does is it spins up a task, and in that method of that task, it'll actually execute the run method. So we will have three threads running here. This is really key to sort of this control flow agent programming, because one of the disadvantages to it is if I start 1,000 agents that are like this that are going to spin and wait in their run method, I'm going to have 1,000 threads. And that's not generally considered a good thing. Some folks call it death by concurrency. But the data flow refactoring, which I'll show you in just a second, actually resolves that. So I connect my agents together. I connect the shutdown to the input of the shutdown. And now, to start this off, we've connected these guys in a loop. I'm just going to send a message to the controller's input buffer. And I'm going to wait for the agents to finish. It's really that simple. One of the things that you'll see here is that when I do this, in fact, we will run. I've executed the serial version, I've executed the control flow version, and I've executed the data flow version. The control flow takes actually a little bit longer in terms of time sometimes. If I run this again, we'll see different times. It's variable. This isn't really about performance. It's about refactoring to a different control structure and about reducing the resources where the resources are the threads. So what's the data flow look like? Well, the first thing I want to see about the data flow actually is that it's this almost the same code. So I've got three agents, a data flow agent. I'm going to start them. I'm going to connect them exactly as before, and I'm going to send them a message to start that circular loop. That's because these data flow agents actually have the same interface as the non-data flow agent. So if I go look at the input data flow agent, I construct it. I've got an input buffer, I've got an output buffer, and I have a shutdown output buffer. If I compare that to my other input agent, the signature is in fact the same. So they're actually swappable because they do semantically the same thing, and I can mix and match them. But what's it actually look like inside of this? So let's go to the data flow agent. So I've got a lot of work in my constructor here, because what I'm actually doing in my constructor is I'm setting up the network. One of the things you can in fact do is actually defer all the construction of the network to the run method. But here, I'm going to take an input buffer, and what I'm doing is I'm making a call message block. So if an unbounded buffer was, you know, just queue things up, what call does is it takes a message and it runs some code, but it doesn't return anything. It's like a message sync. So I'm going to make a call. I'm going to give it some function to run. So this is a lambda. I'm capturing this method. My input parameter is the signal, but I'm not really using it, and I'm going to run this method input check. And what input check does, and here now we'll go back to what we see in both the input agent and in the serial code, is we call our check for input method, and if that thing returns true, then we are going to notify our output with a new message via a call to send, or we're going to signal a shutdown by sending a message to our shutdown buffer. After we signal shutdown, we're going to set ourselves to done. The key here is, because this is a data flow agent, there is no code in the run method. Once I start this agent, it will briefly realize that there's no work to do and stop, and this call that we just wrote that has this input check function is going to sit there as code, and it will only get executed once we've sent data to it. And that's why we call it data flow, because it's about modeling the data flow. And again, the advantage of this is I can have as many of these data flow agents as I want. I can have 1,000 or 10,000 of them, and it's not going to take any additional threads because it sits there as code until I send it messages. So that's the input agent. You know, our rendering agent, it has the same public interface. We have an input buffer, we have an output buffer, and we have a shutdown input buffer. We also have this render function, and we have a shutdown function. Here we're using, rather than a call, we're using a transform, and we have a call for our shutdown buffer. So what a transformer does is it takes a message, it runs a function, and then it produces a message. Now the interesting thing here about this transform, this is our render buffer, the transformer, is I'm actually going to construct it with not one function, but two functions. The first function is the render function. So take our message, call the render method on myself, and all the render method does is call, you know, the render app from main and return a message. And that's it for the render function. I've got a filter function. What this is a filter function, is it's a function that returns a Boolean. And all it's returning is whether or not this agent is active. What this filter will be used is, it will be used to decide if when I get messages, I can inspect that message to see if I want to take it. Or in this case, I'm going to look at my own state and decide that, you know what, I'm not processing messages anymore because I'm done, right? So I can look at my state and decide whether I want to process messages or not. The nice thing about this is it takes the control flow out of this. If we go back to our render agent, we have this check here in a loop. We've actually deconstructed this, and the check is now a separate standalone function that takes one input and returns one output. And our work is a single function that takes one input and returns one output. And that's the key. In shutdown, all we do is set ourselves to false, and then we're done. So that when I get a message saying, hey, it's time to shut down, I set myself to not be active anymore, so that this render buffer will in fact stop processing messages. The last piece of this is the update data flow agent, and just like with the non-data flow version, you know, the control flow agent, the update data flow agent is very similar to the control flow agent. So we have a transformer, we have a call, and we have, you know, for our shutdown buffer. And it's almost exactly the same code. So we take a filter function. It determines whether or not we're active. Right? We take an update function. Right? And we're going to call our member function update with this. And then we give a shutdown function, which is, you know, call ourselves the shutdown. So our work function is going to filter methods based on whether or not we're enabled. If we are enabled, we're going to call update at state and send something to our output buffer. But if not, we're just going to decline the message. And our shutdown buffer merely sets our status to not active anymore and then shuts ourselves down by calling our done method. And that's really it. And our run method is empty. And if I can go now look at the data flow agent, it looks just like the input agent. In fact, it looks so much like it that I can take a render agent from up here and an update agent from up here. And I can interchange them, and it will still run. And that's because the interface of the agents that I've built is identical. All I've done is publish that I take an input, I take an output, and I take an input for shutting myself down. So, and this is, let's see, are we building? Yeah, so I take an input, I take an output, and I shut myself down. And you can see that the time is very similar. I'm using get tick count. The times on these are all variable. It doesn't, in fact, really matter that much. Serial and data flow take about the same time. Control flow takes a little bit longer. We run for a fixed number of frame counts. So that was really it for this. I just wanted to walk through control flow agents, data flow agents, and the refactoring of, you know, standard control flow serial code, which we're all really used to seeing, and how do I take that code, which, you know, is pretty typical, split it up into agents which are isolated from each other, and then take the next step of refactoring where we actually split it up not into agents where we're sort of, you know, like checking for state, maybe we're waiting for events in Windows instead of calling receive, right? Maybe we're, you know, waiting on IO completion ports to finish. But how do I actually split this up into separate threads? Because when I split it up one way with data flow, what I can actually do is have lots of little tiny agents that only take space and not threads. And I don't have, you know, a small number of threads that have lots of, you know, lots of checks, or a large number of threads with only one check. Both of these are really problematic when you look at things in scale. And instead, what I want to do is have, like, you know, a class that does one thing, a function that does one thing. So that's it for today. I hope it was useful. If there's any other questions, I'd be happy to respond to them.